إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. وبعد، all praise is due to Allah. We laud Him, beseech Himself, and Him we seek forgiveness. And we seek the refuge of Allah from the blissedness of our souls and the wrongdoings of all of our actions. Whoever Allah Ta'ala guides, no one can lead him astray. And whoever Allah leaves to be left astray, no one can guide him. And I bear witness publicly that there is nothing worthy of worship as a deity except Allah. He's alone, He has no partners. And I bear witness that Muhammad ibn Abdullah is His abd, His rasul, His slave and His messenger. As to what follows, surely the best feast is the Book of Allah, the Qur'an. The Qur'an which was revealed in the month that just preceded us, the month of Ramadan. And surely the best guidance is the Sunnah of Muhammad ibn Abdullah alayhi salatu wa salam. And the worst of all things in this dunya are newly invented matters, novelties in this deen. But every novelty or newly invented matter in the deen is an accursed and wretched innovation. And every accursed and wretched innovation is a going astray. And every astray will lead that one to the hellfire. On coming here this morning for this beautiful day of the Eid al-Fitr, I thought to myself about the heat that was in my apartment, the dryness of the heat. And even though it may not sound like my voice is hoarse, I thought about this heat, this dry heat in my apartment that was making my voice hoarse. And I said, what's going to happen now when I get to the Civic Center to try to do the khutbah for the Eid in front of all these people? All these people waiting to hear the khutbah. What's going to happen now that my voice is hoarse? What's going to happen? And in light of today's khutbah, inshallah, it will be much shorter than last year and more for the heart than last year. This heat, in light of the khutbah today, the theme of the khutbah today, the heat, the dry heat that's causing my voice to become hoarse, I thought about the people who don't have any heat whatsoever in their apartment. And all I could think about was the dry heat that was making my voice hoarse. And thinking about my voice becoming hoarse, I thought about the people who don't have any voices at all, who can't even speak. Then I thought about the lights that are not on right now, so that I will not be able to properly see what's going on and read a little bit of notes because my memory is not as strong as some other people. And I thought about the people who can't see the light. Physically, they're blind and they can't see the light even if they were home. And then I thought about what's going to happen to me if I forget any of the verses of the Qur'an, trying to follow the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and reciting those surahs that we just recited. And I thought about the people who don't have anything from the Qur'an and don't think about anything from the Qur'an and don't think about memorizing the Qur'an. And I started to count the blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed on me as an individual. And today's khutbah this brief khutbah or ma'ibah, this exhortation and reminder to all of us, is just on that subject. Try it and you'll never be able to do it. To count the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He's given each and every one of us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with so many things, brothers and sisters. There are so many things. As a little boy, I remember growing up complaining to my mother because of the size of my shoes. And at this time, I'm wearing a 13. Alhamdulillah. I complained to my mother coming home from school because the people, the children in my class used to laugh at me because my shoes were so big and usually pointed. And so my mother used to sit me on her lap and comfort me. May Allah guide her to Islam.
Ameen.
And all of our relatives that are so far, may Allah guide them to Islam.
Ameen.
And comfort me and remind me of that man that we used to see that didn't have any feet when I was complaining about my shoes and the size of my shoes. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, brothers and sisters in Islam, in so many verses of the Quran, He's already told us what He's done for us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ الْحَقِّ تَعَالَ عَمَّا يُشْرِكُونَ. He has created the heavens and the earth with truth, highly exalted over what they associate to Him as partners. He created the heavens and the earth. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in another ayah, of which we hope to re-emphasize and reiterate, وَآتَاكُمْ مِنْ كُلِّ مَا سَأَلْتُمُوهُ وَإِنْ تَعُدُّوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَظَلُومٌ كَفَّارٌ لَظَلُومٌ كَفَّارٌ. And He gave you all of that which you asked for. وَآتَاكُمْ مِنْ كُلِّ مَا سَأَلْتُمُوهُ. He gave you all of that which you asked for. Meaning, He gave you these things before you even came out of your mother's womb, before you even thought of the things that you would ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they were already here before you got here. They were already here waiting for you. خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ بِالْحَقِّ. خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ بِالْحَقِّ. Allah created the heavens and the earth in truth. And those heavens, and this earth, and the seven earths that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned that are like the seven heavens, that are not the planets but something else. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala already had these things, and the things that are in the heavens that come from the heavens, and the things that come from the earth, all the things that you know about and you don't know about, they were here before you even got here. Before you even got here, they were waiting for you. From the fruits and the vegetables and the animals and the plants and your husbands and your wives and your children, they were already here before you got here. وَإِنْ تَعُدُّ نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تَحْصُوهَا. And if you were to try to count the blessings of Allah, you would never be able to do it. You would never ever be able to do it. وَإِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَظَلُومٌ كَفَّارٌ. But the human being is ungrateful, and he's an ingrate, and he's a disbeliever, and continuously wrong himself in that disbelief, denying the bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to say, and the dua that he said was Sayyid al-Istighfar, was the leader, the master, the Lord, the Rabb of all dua for seeking forgiveness. In the middle of this dua, he would say, أَبُؤُوا لَكَ بِنِعْمَتِكَ عَلَيَّ وَأَبُؤُوا بِذَنْبِ فَاغْفِرْلِ فَإِنَّهُ لَا يُغْفِرُ ذُنُوبَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ. Oh Allah, I recognize your ni'mah on me. I recognize your ni'mah, your bounties, your graces, your felicities, your blessings on me. And I also recognize your sins, my sins. So forgive me for my sins, because no one can forgive sins except you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَإِنْ تَعُدُّوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا. If you were to try to count with all the computers that you can manufacture, any method that you use to count, if you were to try to count the blessings that Allah Azza wa Jal gave us before we even asked for it, you would never be able to do it. They were already waiting here for us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentions in His glorious book, هَلْ أَتَى عَلَى الْإِنسَانِ حِينٌ مِّنَ الدَّهْرِ لَمْ يَكُنْ شَيْئًا مَذْكُورًا. Has there not been over man a period of time in which he was nothing to be mentioned? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fataqa Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam bi kaffihi, the Messenger of Allah alayhi wa sallam, to demonstrate the meaning of this auspicious ayah from Allah azza wa jal, he spit into his hand, right into the palm of his blessed hand. ثُمَّ قَالَ, then the narrator said that the Messenger of Allah said, يَقُولُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, ابن آدم أن تعبدني وقد خلقتك من مثل هذه حتى إذا سويتك فاستعجلتك مشيت بين برديك وللأرض منك وإيد فجمعت ومنعت حتى إذا بلغت الحلقوم قلت أتصدق وأن أوان الصدقة. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, O son of Adam, how can you disable me? How is it that you don't give me my due and what I do for you? I have created you from this, something like this. The Messenger of Allah spit in his hand. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, how can you disable me? How can you make me seem like I don't do anything for you? That I'm unable to do things for you? That I've just done this for you and that for you? And I have created you from something like this. Something like this. This right here in the palm of the Messenger of Allah's hand. I've created you from something like this. وَخَلَقْتُكَ وَصَوَّيْتُكَ, I created you and gave you a nice shape and form. وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ بِالْأَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمٍ, we created the human being in the best of moods. Better than the sun, better than the jinn, better than the angels, better than the trees, better than the animals. The human being was created in the best of moods. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مَشَّيْتَ بَيْنَ بُرْدَيْكَ. And this, brothers and sisters, in the English language, you never get the benefit of the beauty of this statement, the balagha of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. مَشَّيْتَ بَيْنَ بُرْدَيْكَ, you're walking between your clothes, meaning you're walking between the clothes that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you, and you're walking proudly. وَلِلْأَرْضِ مِنْكَ وَإِيدٍ, stomping your foot as people walk proudly, seeking the earth. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَجَمَعْتَ وَمَنَعْتَ, you accumulate, you collect all the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala سَخَّرَ لَكُمْ, that He made subservient for you, that He created for you. وَمَنَعْتَ, and then you hold it back. And then you hold it back. And Allah is the one who gave it to you. وَإِنْ تَعُدُّوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ فَلَا تُحْصُوهَا, if you would try to count the blessings of Allah عَزُّ وَجَلْ, you would never be able to do it. But you hold it back. When Allah gave you before you even got here, it was waiting for you. حَتَّى إِذَا بَلَغَتِ الْحُلْقُومِ, until the time comes and when your soul is going to reach your throat, when the angels are going to take it out. And then the person will say, أتصدقوا, I'll give charity now. I'm going to start spending now. وَأَنَّ أَوَانُ الصَّدَقَ, now, how is this the time for صدقة? How is this the time for صدقة? So brothers and sisters in Islam, we should remember there was a time when we were nothing, not even mentioned, not even thought about. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, out of His infinite mercy, out of His blessings for us, His bounty on us, the felicities that He's given us, He took us, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in His book, إِنَّا خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ مِنْ نُطْفَةٍ أَمْشَاجٍ نَبْتَلِيهِ فَجَعَلْنَاهُ سَمِيعًا بَصِيرًا. Verily we have created the human being from a nutfah. This sperm is like this in the palm of the Messenger of Allah's hand, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is what He created me and you from. And then He made us come from our mother's womb. And He made us crawl. And then holding on to the sides of the walls and the furniture. And then we started getting some strength, growing, walking on our own. And then now we have full maturity and strength, and we have the nerve to walk. This أَرْضِ مِنْكَ وَإِيدٍ, stomping, pompous, proud, arrogant. Some of us so proud that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has explained to us by the tongue of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that anyone who has an ounce, less than an ounce, an atom's weight, less than an atom's weight of kibr, of pride in their chest, they won't go to Jannah. We have the nerve to be arrogant and proud, not wanting to spend, not wanting to do the things of good. وإن تعدوا نعمة الله فلا تحصوها. If you would count the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you would never be able to do so. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, brothers and sisters in Islam, He's given us so much. I'd like to mention just a few of those things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us that we take for granted and maybe even abuse and misuse. The human ear. The human ear is as sensitive, and please bear with me, the human ear is as sensitive that it can perceive sound waves with an energy of only 1/10,000 trillionth of a watt. And the pressure of the barest audible sound is 10 billion times less than the atmospheric pressure at sea level. Now what does this mean to all of us who are laymen, who are not scientists? The threshold valley is so low that it is close to the energy of thermal motion. We still don't understand, right? In layman's terms, if our ears were just slightly more sensitive, we would constantly hear as background noise the collision of the molecules in the air. This is one of the things that Allah Azza wa Jalla has given us, brothers and sisters. When a paper clip hits a wooden floor and a rocket ship takes off, they both cause vibrations, sound waves in the air. And those sound waves that Allah Azza wa Jalla created before you even asked for it or even thought to ask for it, they assist us in hearing. Without these mere sound waves, if we didn't have the sound waves, brothers and sisters in Islam, we would only be able to hear the internal workings of our body, like the heartbeat, the flowing of the blood, and the creaking of our bones and our joints. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us something simple as sound waves. So you can hear my voice and I can hear yours. So you can hear your baby cry, and hear your husband say, I love you, and hear your wife say, I love you, just from the sound waves. Despite that, brothers and sisters, despite this wondrous gift that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, we still use them to listen to slander, to listen to lying, to listen to backbiting, to listen to music, to listen to all kinds of filthy language, and we don't use what Allah Azza wa Jalla created these ears for, which is to listen to the Quran and the hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the words of Islam. As for our eyes, just the small muscles surrounding the lens of our eyes are more than they use more than 100,000 times each day. If your leg muscles tried to work that much, they would have to go on a 50-mile hike. Just the muscles in the lens of the eye. 80% of the raw sensory information that is the basis for knowledge is provided by the eye. 80%. Of all the raw information that comes into our brain is provided by the eye. The Viking 1 and 2 expeditions or explorations and between 1976 and 1980 took more than 50,000 images of the surface of the planet Mars between 1976 and 1980. And Voyages 1 and 2 transmitted about 70,000 images of Saturn and Jupiter back to the planet Earth. These encounters took place over a period of about 2 years, even though the rendezvous of these two things, or these two trips, or these four trips, measured in days, these particular explorations, even though they took only 2 days, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with an eye, or with an eye, that can transmit more than this. These particular explorations, Voyages 1 and 2, and Viking 1 and 2, took 387 billion bits of information. 387 billion bits of information. And the human eye can do more than that in 6¾ minutes. 6¾ minutes. وَإِن تَعُدُّوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ فَلَا تُحْصُوهَا. If you were to count the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you would never be able to count them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us these eyes, brothers and sisters. But although He's given us this great favor, we still look at things that we shouldn't be looking at. We look at shows on TV we shouldn't be looking at. We look at magazines we shouldn't be looking at. We look at women that we shouldn't be looking at. We look at men that we shouldn't be looking at. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to give thanks to Him in our prayers and in sujood and in ruku', as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave thanks to Allah for His hearing and the sight. اللهم لك سجدت وبك آمنت ولك أسلمت سجد وجهي للذي خلقه وصوره وشق سمعه وبصره تبارك الله أحسن الخالقين. O Allah, to You I prostrate, and in You I believe, and to You I submit. My faith prostrates to You who has created it and fashioned it, and has opened the way for its hearing and its sight. Blessed is Allah, the best of creators. Allah الذي خلق السماوات والأرض وأنزل من السماء ماء فأخرج به من الثمرات رزقا لكم وسخر لكم الفلك لتجري في البحر بأمره وسخر لكم الأنهار. Allah is He who created the heavens and the earth and sends down the water from the sky, and thereby brought forth fruit as provision for you. And He made the ships to be a servant to you, that they may sail to the sea by His command. And He has made rivers to be, and fruit come from the earth. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, out of His infinite mercy on us and as a blessing, He could, as He mentions in the Quran, He could have made this water ujaja. He could have made the water from the sky salty, but He made it sweet. He made it sweet for you. And you all know from your science classes, whether you had graduated or not, you all know if that water came down salty, we would be in bad shape, brothers and sisters. If that water that came from the heavens came down salty or jazzed, we would all be in bad shape. Because a human being can't drink salt water like this and survive. So Allah, out of His infinite mercy on us, He made it sweet. He made it easy for us to drink to nourish our body. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accounts His blessings. He recounts them over and over and over in the Quran, the things that He has given the creation, by mentioning that He created for the human being, made subservient to them, to heaven, like a great secured seal, and the earth like a mattress or bed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us many other things, brothers and sisters. He's given us a heart. When a human being is just lying down at rest, the adult heart pushes about 1.5 gallons of blood through the circulatory system every minute. 87 gallons every hour. 2,100 gallons every day. 766,600 gallons in a year. And more than 56 million gallons of blood in an average 74-year-old lifespan. Your heart uses enough energy each day to lift 2,000 pounds to a height of 41 feet. By the time you're 50 years old, your heart has done enough work equal to lifting more than 10,000 tons to an altitude of 142 miles. But in our hearts, we love what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger hate, and we hate what Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam love. We spend more time cleaning our car, and cleaning our shoes, and cleaning our houses than we do our hearts. We spend more time cleaning our bodies and cleaning the other things that are going to stop in the grave than we spend cleaning our hearts. We spend more time giving our hearts to our children, giving our hearts to our husbands, giving our hearts to our wives, giving our hearts to our jobs, giving our hearts to educational pursuits, instead of giving them to the creator of those hearts. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created as-sama'a wal-basar wal-fu'ad, the hearing, the seeing, and the heart. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ, so that you may give thanks to Him who created them, gave them to you before you even asked for it. The blood cells, if we were to take a needle and prick our finger, it would bring forth a tiny droplet of blood. If the droplet in the droplet of blood equals about 1 cubic millimeter, 1 cubic millimeter, it would contain about 5 million blood cells. though we are afraid to give our blood fi sabilillah. We are afraid to give our blood fi sabilillah. We would rather give it to the Red Cross or some other agency collecting blood than to give it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fi sabilillah in jihad. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us a material on our bones. We completely change the skin every 27 days. It keeps out foreign agents. It keeps in body fluid. It shields us against harmful rays and takes steps to improve it, shielding it in case the rays increase. It cools the body and conserves the heat in the body. It regulates the blood pressure. It contains the sense of touch. The sense of touch, without it, you wouldn't be able to feel that husband or feel that wife or those children when they touch you. It forms its own individual shape, and it constantly and efficiently renews itself. When it becomes wounded, it repairs itself in most cases. But those who disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ظَلُومٌ كَفَّارٌ, ungrateful, disbelieving, they deny the ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in His book that some people will have this skin burned off and replaced, burned off and replaced, burned off and replaced repeatedly because of their disobedience and the denial of Allah's ayat. That same skin, we don't cover it properly when the Messenger of Allah tells the women to cover their bodies, and we leave that skin exposed so men can see our skin. Why don't we pay more attention to the skin when we make wudu? We pay more attention putting Nasrima and other chemicals that look beautiful for some created thing, but we don't pay attention to washing our body correctly in wudu and ghusl. وَإِن تَعُدُّوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ فَلَا تُحْصُوهَا. If you were to able, if you were to count the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you would never be able to do it. With 10 billion nerve cells, the brain has the ability to record over 86 million bits of information each day of our lives. 86 million bits of information every single day of our lives, weighing only 3 pounds in the average adult. 3 pounds, brothers and sisters, weighing only 3 pounds in the average adult, but can store in an average of 70 years about 100 trillion bits of information. 100 trillion bits of information. And the entire Encyclopedia Britannica is only 200 million. 200 million bits of information. But what do we use our brains for, brothers and sisters? What do we put in those brains every day? What do we allow to go into our children's brains? What will be part of the address that we like to give to the women when the men leave, inshallah ta'ala? What do we do every day with those brains and every night? Do we use those brains to think about helping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, helping the cause of Islam, saying subhanallah, alhamdulillah, la ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar? Or do we use those brains to go to sleep on some music or watching TV and letting those pieces of information go into our brains, maybe dying on that when Allah doesn't return our soul when we go to sleep? The eyelashes that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, they make some people very, very beautiful and attractive. The eyelashes that Allah created have a sensor. They have a sensory mechanism inside of them. So in case an object comes towards your eyes, if someone throws a rock or a light, there's a sensory mechanism in the eyelashes that makes your eyes blink automatically to protect your eyes. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave this to you before you even asked for it. Even though you didn't even know to ask for it, He gave that little thing to you to make you blink. And if Allah azza wa jal were to make us keep our eyes closed instead of opening them and blinking, we would be in total darkness. It allows us to open and close them, and open and close them, and open and close them. And if we were to add up how many times we blink, we would be in total darkness. وَإِن تُعُدُّوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ فَلَا تُحْصُوهَا. If you can, count the mercy, the blessings of Allah and His bounty, but you'll never be able to enumerate them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given over those beautiful eyes, whether they are green, whether they are hazel, whether they are brown, whether they are black, whether they are blue, He's given us eyebrows. that keep the sweat from going down our forehead into our eyes and burning our eyes. This is one of the reasons that Allah gave us these eyebrows. Allah has given us bones. The rigid nature of the bone provides a shape and support. It protects us. It acts as an anchor. It acts as an anchor point for the muscles. It helps produce blood. It contains minerals, mainly calcium and phosphorus and magnesium and fluorine and chlorine and iron. All these things that maybe some of us don't even know what they do for our bodies. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at birth, for us as children, He gives us yellow marrow inside of those bones. And then when we reach adulthood, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala changes this yellow marrow that makes reserves for the body into red marrow. And this red marrow helps control the blood cells and strengthen the blood cells. Then if the blood became anemic, then the yellow marrow will provide more red blood cells. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's Prophet has given us a dua that we can say in our ruku. A dua that all of us should memorize. Allahumma laka raki'atu, wa bika amantu, wa laka aslamtu, wa alayka wa tawakkaltu. Anta rabbi, khaja'a sam'i, wa basari, wa dami, wa lahmi, wa mukhi, wa azami, wa asabi, lillahi rabbil alameen. O Allah, to you I bow, and to you I believe, and to you I submit, and upon you I depend. You are my Lord. My hearing, my sight, my blood, my flesh, the marrow of my bones, my nerves are subdued before Allah, the Lord of the world. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, brothers and sisters, He says in His book, وَلَكُمْ فِيهَا جَمَالٌ حِينَا تُرِيحُونَ وَحِينَا تَفْرَحُونَ. And wherein is beauty for you, and those animals that He's given you, when you bring them home in the evening and take off their skin, as you lead them forth to pasture in the morning. وَتَحْمِلُوا أَثْقَالَكُمْ إِلَى بَلَدٍ لَمْ تَكُونُوا بَالِغِينَ إِلَّا بِشِقِّ الْأَنْفُسِ إِنَّ رَبَّكَ لَرَءُوفٌ رَحِيمٌ. And they carry your load to a land that you wouldn't be able to reach except with great difficulty and trouble to yourself. Allah gave you these animals, brothers and sisters. He gave us these animals that if we didn't have these animals to carry these loads, it would be a great burden on us. And they were already here waiting for us in the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Truly your Lord is full of kindness and He's most merciful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَعَلَى اللَّهِ قَصُّ السَّبِيلِ وَمِنْهَا جَائِرٌ وَلَوْ شَاءَ لَهَدَاكُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ. And upon Allah the responsibility to explain the straight path. It will be for the person's benefit that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave. And whoever goes astray, it will be for their own destruction. But there are ways that they turn away. The human being turns away, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, had He will, He would have guided all of mankind. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, brothers and sisters in Islam, He mentions in His book, خَلَقَ الْإِنسَانَ مِنْ نُطْفَةٍ فَإِذَا هُوَ خَصِيمٌ مُبِينٌ. He has created you from a nutfa, then behold, the same individual, the human being, becomes an open enemy, disputing with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The human being, after Allah created him from a nutfa, from the sperm, the human being becomes an open enemy to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, arguing with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, denying the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, making war with the messengers of Allah alayhim as-salatu was-salam. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after all of this, brothers and sisters, He's given us the greatest blessing of all. And that blessing is al-Islam. The greatest blessing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us is al-Islam. الْيَوْمَ أَكْمَلْتُ لَكُمْ دِينَكُمْ وَأَتْمَمْتُ عَلَيْكُمْ نِعْمَتِي وَرَضِيتُ لَكُمُ الْإِسْلَامَ دِينًا. This day I have perfected my favor on you and completed your deen for you that I'm pleased to give you. And this deen that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us is al-Islam. وَإِنْ تَعُدُّوا مِنْ نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ فَلَا تُحْصُوهَا. If you were to decide to count the blessings of Allah Azza wa Jal, you would not be able to do it.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just 20 years ago, brothers, you were kuffar. Just 16 years ago, sisters, you were walking around in miniskirt with your hair uncovered. Just 10 years ago, brothers, you were using drugs, drinking alcohol. Just 5 years ago, you were playing lotto, sisters. You were wearing wigs and doing all kinds of filthy, abominable things. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guided you to Islam. وَإِنْ تَعُسُّوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ فَلَا تُحْصُوهَا. If you were to try to enumerate the blessings of Allah Azza wa Jal, you would never be able to count them. On this day, brothers and sisters of Islam, the day of Eid al-Fitr, we should be thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for everything that He has given us and everything that we don't know that He has given us. We need to be thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for giving us our hair and giving us our head and our eyes and our lips and our tongue, our shoulders, our arms, our feet, our hands, our legs, everything that He has given us inside of our bodies and outside of our bodies. The pomegranate, the onion, the garlic, the date, the oranges, the cucumbers, everything that He has given us, we need to be thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We don't need to deny the blessings of Allah, for surely, in conclusion, brothers and sisters in Islam, denying the bounties and to deny the ni'mah of Allah, the fadl of Allah, the bounties and the grace of Allah upon us, is a type of disbelief within itself. Who would deny the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ. Which of the favors of your Lord would deny? Who would deny them except an ingrate, an ungrateful, impious, arrogant, stupid, ignorant, foolish individual? When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has inspired His Prophet to tell us that we were just like this or something like it. This is the way you are. Remember the blessings of Allah upon you, brothers and sisters. Don't be ungrateful to Allah Azza wa Jal for what Allah Azza wa Jal has given you. Take advantage of everything that He's given you, and when you see yourself in dire straits, when you don't have enough money, when you don't have enough food, when you don't have enough this or that, then think about the person who's less than you. When you think about not having shoes, and that sister has a new pair of shoes for the Eid, think about the people that don't have any feet. When you can't get that overgarment for the Eid that you wanted because your husband may cannot afford it, think about that sister who died last week who can't wear any overgarment that will stand in front of Allah naked, uncircumcised, barefoot with no cash at all. When you think about the brothers who have a nice shiny car and they pull up in front of the masjid and you say, oh, how I wish I could have that. I don't have a car. I don't even have a bicycle. I don't even have a skateboard. Think about what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hasn't given the person who's beneath you. وَإِنْ تَعُدُّوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ فَلَا تُحْصُوهَا. If you were to count, try to count the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on you, you would never be able to do it, brothers and sisters. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us grateful and thankful for what He has given us. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us of those individuals who are shakirun, thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, praising Him for His ni'mah and His bounty on us. And we ask Allah's protection from being those individuals who are ungrateful and who are arrogant in their ungratefulness. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us more than what we realize, brothers and sisters. And the greatest of that which He has given us is al-Islam. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين أجمعين في كل مكان. سبحان الله وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. سيدنا ونبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. Love sisters in Islam, the women of the Ummah of Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. At least one time in his life, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he gave the Eid khutbah, Salatu Eid al-Fitr. And after he gave the Eid khutbah, he had Bilal ibn Rabah al-Habashi, radiallahu anhu, one of the three Muslims that the Prophet had, one of the three individuals who used to call the people to prayer. He had Bilal, radiallahu anhu, go among the women and take the end of the staff, as we have this thing here, to give charity. Exhorting the women to give charity after the Eid khutbah, because he said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed him the hell And in the hell, the majority of the denizens, the majority of the citizens, the majority of the individuals in the hellfire were women. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw it fit to go and give a special maw'idah, a special exhortation to the women after the Eid Jumu'ah. Today I would like to practice the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Please bear with me on what we prepared, inshaAllah. These are the matters that a Muslim woman should live by. And they should pay close attention to what we're about to say. Sister Nafisa, your son is here on the stage. The responsibilities and the roles of a Muslim woman are four matters. Four concerns. What is the role of a Muslim woman in this life? What is her message? And what is the most important of the matters that she should be concerned about? The Muslim woman is a school. If you prepare her, you prepare a whole society. The message to a woman on this auspicious day of the Eid is first, and more importantly, that she should be a believer. The Muslim woman should be a believer in Allah Azza wa Jalla. She should be a believer in Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, and she should have Iman. With that Iman, she should have knowledge. Because knowledge without Iman is a curse. Worldly and religious knowledge without Iman, sisters, is a curse. It is more important to know your Lord than to know any other thing in this existence. Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyyah, rahmatullahi alayhi, said, إِنَّ الْعَبْدَ لَوْ عَرَفَ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ وَلَمْ يَعْرِفْ رَبَّهُ فَكَأَنَّهُ لَمْ يَعْرِفْ شَيْئًا. The slave of Allah, male or female, if they were to know every single thing, and they don't know their Lord, it is as though they don't know anything. So Iman without knowledge, sisters in Islam, brings about the curse of Allah and the anger of Allah and the wrath of Allah. And knowledge without Iman makes the person barbaric. A woman who has knowledge of this deen but doesn't have Iman becomes barbaric. She is really behind the times. A woman without Iman coupled with her knowledge is a despicable, disgusting creature. Ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah, said, a heart that the sun of Islam doesn't rise upon is a heart that is cursed. And the land that the message of Islam doesn't rise upon is a land that has the wrath of Allah upon it. And one who believes from among the men and the women that they will be guided other than the guidance of Allah that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came with, upon that person will be the curse of Allah and the curse of the angels and the curse of all mankind. The most important aspect of the woman, after having knowledge with her Iman and Iman with her knowledge, is to believe that none has the right to be worshipped as a deity except Allah, and that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his messenger. And following this, the first concern that every Muslim woman to be concerned with is her salah. She should be a praying woman, and she should establish in her house the salawat that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordained for her. She should establish the five prayers, she should establish the sunnah prayers, she should establish the optional prayers, and make her house a house built upon salah. She should make her house a house built upon the zikr of Allah. Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar. She should make her house a house that is built on the worship of Allah. A house that doesn't have a believing woman in it is a house
that's ready to cave in. It is a house that has no barakah, no blessings whatsoever in it. No peace can come from a house that doesn't have a woman that believes in Allah in that house. No type of light can enter a house that doesn't have a woman who believes in it. The Muslim woman that has been raised and educated by Islam, she stands vigil on her prayer. She stands guard on her prayer. She always keeps up her fast of Ramadan. She fasts on Mondays and Thursdays. She fasts on the 13th, the 14th, and the 15th in the Muslim calendar. She fasts on those days called Ayyam al-Bid, the white days. She fasts the 6 days of Shawwal so that she can get the reward that Allah's Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam has told all of us. Whoever fasts 6 days in Shawwal, of course after the Eid, whether those 6 days be in order, consecutively or inconsecutively, they will get the reward as though they fasted the whole year. A woman who is a believing woman, she establishes her night in her home, making qiyam al-layl, making tahajjud. And when her husband doesn't want to get up, she sprinkles water on her husband's face lightly and begs that Allah assist her in getting her husband up for qiyam al-layl, for tahajjud. Her nights and her days are spent for Allah Azza wa Jalla. There is a story of one of the righteous women, As-Salafiyyah, of the women of the past, radiallahu anha. This woman's name was Khamsa al-Naf'iyyah. One day she came on the day of the battle of Qadisiyyah, and she bade farewell to her four sons. And she said to them, on this day, my four sons, put on your burial clothes. So they put on their burial clothes, their clothes of Allah, the five beasts of Allah. She said to them, I am your mother and I swear by Allah, I have never been unfaithful to your father. And I've never deceived your uncle. Surely you are the sons of one man. Wallahi, if you seek your reward with Allah, it is better than your living with me. So go into battle. And they went into the battlefield, and she said, don't come back unless you're shuhada, martyr for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So she bid them farewell, and they went out to battle, and all four of them died, fi sabilillah, for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the irresistible. This is a believing woman. This is a woman who makes her night and her days for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. She lives on the light of al-fitra, the natural disposition that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created the human being. The light of guidance that is the light upon light. And the one whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not give light, he has no light. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, speaking to the Muslim women, إِذَا صَلَّتِ الْمَرْأَةُ خَمْسَهَا وَصَامَتْ شَهْرَهَا وَحَصَّنَتْ فَرْجَهَا وأطاعت زوجها قيل لها ادخلي الجنة من أي أبواب الجنة شئت. Any woman, if she prays her five prayers and fasts her month of Ramadan and keeps her private heart pure, only allowing her husband to enter them and see them, and she obeys that husband, it will be said to her, أُدْخِلِي الْجَنَّةِ مِنْ أَيِّ أَبْوَابِ الْجَنَّةِ شِئْتِ. Enter into the garden of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, enter into the Jannah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, enter into the paradise of Allah Azza wa Jal by any door of the many doors of Jannah that you choose. Just praying her five prayers and fasting her month of Ramadan and obeying her husband after keeping her private part pure and clean, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as one of the many blessings that Allah has given her, will allow her to go through any door, not that he chooses, not that the Messenger of Allah chooses, not that her husband or her father or her son chooses, but any door of Jannah that she chooses. And there are many, many doors of Jannah. These are the scriptural descriptions of a Muslim woman. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that a woman is married for four things.
for her deen, for her position or lineage, for her beauty, or for her wealth. So marry the one with deen. This is the best one to marry. And this is the one that your sisters should be preparing themselves to be. The woman with the deen. The woman who is a believer, who is a Muslimah, praying, fasting, she is a source of purity and modesty. She is the greatest jewel that can be found in this earth. Islam protected her, Islam honored her, Islam raised her, Islam gave her dignity, and the matter that we request from you, our women in Islam, from you, the sisters in Islam, for ourselves, is a request that our mothers and our sisters and our women relatives to guard their five prayers and to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala regarding themselves. To be upright, to be straight, to be righteous, dignified women. This is the first matter for the believing woman. How can a believing woman that says she believes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how can she be a true servant for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How can she direct her life to Allah azza wa jalla? The answer is that she must turn to the Quran every day and every night. She must turn to the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam every day and every night. And Islam has not been established except with the help of a woman. The first martyr to die fi sabilillah was a woman. Sumayya radiallahu ta'ala anha wa radaha. A woman who gave her life for Islam and didn't want to deny the oneness and the uniqueness and the unicity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The evil, wretched, stinking, filthy, kafir, mushrik pagan among the Arabs took a spear and stuck it in her private part while she lay bare on the desert earth with her arms and legs stretched out, trying to make her deny La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, taking that spear, sticking it in her private part, ripping it up to her throat. The first person to die for Allah Azza wa Jal was a woman. Islam has been fought and established for and based on nothing but a woman. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given the woman her modesty, Allah has given her shyness, and He has given her her morals. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has presented the Muslim woman with the morals that has dignified her over all other women. She was presented now in front of the people of the land as a sign of dignity. And then, because of shaitan from among the men and the jinn, and because of the nuts of the human being, she's now being presented on the covers of magazines. She's now being presented naked and shameful. People coming to and fro to her. People coming to and fro to her. People coming to her as though she's some beast in the earth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has tested the woman with all types of shameful fitna that has plagued the human being, and which only Islam can dignify, and Islam has dignified the women by clothing them with the hijab and the burqa and the niqab and the qusar, the gloves, the face veil, the overgarments, etc., so that she won't display her beauty to only that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told her to guard only for her, her husband, after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is the woman who has led generations to hellfire, and we seek Allah's refuge from the hellfire. It is women that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us to be the leaders and teachers of our children. But shaitan has taken the woman, and every time she goes out of her home, he has used her as a ploy and a plot to seduce the people of the world, and to seduce the men of the world. And the greatest fitna that has ever come after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and which he said, I have left no greater fitna after me on the men than the women. But you can see that Islam saved the woman. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taken upon himself by his orders on us that she guard her honor and she guard herself by covering her body. Islam has made you a jewel, women of Islam. Oh, sisters in Islam, Allah has made you more precious than any diamond, any ruby, any pearl, more expensive than any gold or any platinum. Allah Azza wa Jalla has made you more precious than any precious mineral that human beings can ever conceive of. And Islam has made you like a treasure. This is what Islam has done with the women. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help the women of Islam, you sisters in Islam, my beloved women who dedicate themselves to Islam, to keep your modesty and your honor and your greatness. The second matter is, how can a woman be knowledgeable? How can a woman gain knowledge about her deen, about the Lord that created her? Should she gain that knowledge just for the sake of the knowledge of God? The knowledge that you should gain, sisters in Islam, is a means. It's a means to Islam, nothing else. It is not like some societies who have made knowledge and the pursuit of knowledge a god besides Allah. Like that thinking kafir, mubtadi, innovator Ataturk, who changed the society of Turkey by making the pursuit of knowledge a god besides Allah, thus making another deen called secularism. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you women that are partaking in the pursuit of seeking knowledge, don't make this knowledge, the pursuit of knowledge, the goal. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you women don't make the seeking of knowledge a deen. وَمَنْ يَبْتَغَى دِينَ الْغَيْرِ إِسْلَامَ دِينًا فَلَنْ يُقْبَلَ مِنْهُ وَهُوَ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. Whoever seeks a deen other than Islam, it will never be accepted from him. And in the last day, he or she will be a balloon. To separate from your life, to separate from your deen, the pursuit of knowledge, making it a deen within itself, is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't want for the women of Islam. You can go to Japan, you can go to China, here in America or in Europe, and you find women, the colleges are filled with women, Muslim women who are losing their identity, losing their honor, losing their greatness, losing their deen, simply because of a bachelor's degree, a master's degree, or PhD. Sisters in Islam, don't make the pursuit of knowledge a deen besides Islam. Whoever does this is a person that has lost all. They will be a khasirun. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't want a Muslim woman to be something that is despised and rejected by lowering her standards. It would be better for a Muslim woman to be in the desert, in a tent, to be in the jungle, in a hut, to sleep with the sheep in the desert, or animals in the jungle, in Africa, or Australia, or wherever the jungles may be, and praying her five prayers. That is more righteous in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than the woman who has gathered all worldly knowledge, then went away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and went astray simply because she made the pursuit of that knowledge of deen besides Islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, my beloved sisters in Islam, wants you, the Muslim woman, to obey your husband. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it a prerequisite for you to go to Jannah that you obey your husband. This condition for entering into the paradise is a condition which many women fall short in. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given many of you good men. Remember the khutbah of Eid. Don't allow the shaitan or your nafs to seduce you and look at something lower, thinking it's higher than your husband. Obey your husband, respect your husband, honor your husband, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you the abundance of good. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, dear sisters in Islam, in conclusion, for those of you who are listening attentively with your ears, and more importantly with your heart, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you to rear your children, directing their lives towards the Quran and the authentic Sunnah of our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What Islam wants from the women is that those women make their home a madrasa, a school for their children. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to make the Muslim woman's house a house where the Qur'an is constantly being played. Not a house in which there's gossiping on the telephone. Not a house in which there's backbiting and lying and slander. Not a house in which the television plays constantly and the surah of Al-Baqarah is not being played at all. A house in where music is constantly being played is not what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants from the house of a good Muslim woman. But rather, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants a house that Muslim woman has established, a house that constantly, day and night, the children hear the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whether they can understand those words or not. My beloved sisters in Islam, do not take the Qur'an out of your home and replace them with this foolishness that the shaitan inspires the people with, which is called music. Teach your children the Qur'an and learn the Qur'an yourself. Try with all your level best to make your house a house of El Qur'an. Try with all your level best to make your home a house and with the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is recited. As Allah azza wa jalla says in his book, وَالْقُرْنَ مَا يُسْنَى فِي بُيُوتِكُنَّ مِنْ آيَاتِ اللَّهِ وَالْحِكْمَةِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ عَلَيْكُمْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ لَطِيفًا خَبِيرًا. Speaking to the wives of the Messenger of Allah, and remember that which is recited in your house of the ayat of Allah and the sunnah, the word hikmah meaning sunnah. Remember, O women of Islam, the wives of the Prophet, and this is directed to all the women, remember that which is recited in the houses of the Messenger of Allah, of the words of Allah, of the ayat of Allah, and the hikmah, the sunnah, for surely Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is over us as a latif and a khabir. O believing Muslim women, save yourselves and your family, your children, from a hellfire and fire and fuel and men and stone. Do not hesitate in carrying out the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do not hesitate in carrying out the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do not hesitate in following the sunnah in every aspect of your life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala desires good for you women of Islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala desires that you see His face, the face of Allah, which is the greatest reward that any human being could desire. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you to encourage your sons to fight fi sabilillah al-jihad, to make them al-hasan, to make them tariq, to make them salahuddin al-ayyubi, to make them like the great warriors of the past. Do not make them cling onto your apron string. Don't make them think that this life is the only life. Teach your boys to be fighters in Islam. Teach your girls to be models and stay out of the faces of the men. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make a veil for you, between you and the hellfire, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. And none of you women will lose 3 children, except it will be a veil for her from the hellfire. And one woman said, and 2 children of the Messenger of Allah. And then the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, yes, then 2. And then in another narration, someone asked, and what about 1, the Messenger of Allah? And then the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, yes, even 1. And lastly, this exhortation that we hope the brothers hear this, that she deserves mercy, and she deserves gentleness, and she deserves kindness, and she deserves tenderness, because for surety the woman was created from a rib. The woman was created from a rib, and the uppermost part of it is crooked. And this crookedness, the men of Islam must realize that the crookedness of this woman is not a negative crookedness, but the crookedness of this woman is a positive crookedness. And if the men in Islam try to straighten it, they will break it. And the breaking it is divorcing them. The crookedness is the crookedness that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned in the hadith, where he said the woman is created from a rib, and the uppermost part of it is crooked, is a positive, good crookedness. The men of Islam should be kind and tender to the women. They should not try to straighten the woman and make the woman like the man. Allah Azza wa Jalla says in his book, وليس الذكر كالأنثى. The male is not like the female. The men should be exhorted and reminded and admonished not to make the woman be like them. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not made the woman like the man. There's an Arabic proverb, and what the Arab says, Al-minjalu istiqamatu bi'awijajihi, that the straightness of the sickle is in its crookedness. For a surety, if that sickle was straight, you wouldn't be able to use it to thresh the weeds and cut down those plants that you don't need. The straightness of the sickle is in its crookedness. And the straightness for a surety of the woman is in her crookedness. We should be very cognizant that the woman is different from the man and that she has this crookedness, but that this crookedness is a good thing for her. And it's a good thing for us. So we should do what the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, اَسْتَوْتُ بِالنِّسَاءِ خَيْرًا. Treat the women kindly. Remember who you give your female slaves to. Be careful who you marry your women to, O guardian, O wali, O awliyat. Because surely, it is like marrying them into slavery. Be very careful, O men of Islam. Be very careful who you marry your women into marriage, because it's like marrying them into slavery. And the women are not responsible for their own affairs. The women should be allowed to go to classes. The women should be allowed to learn as much or more as the men. For as our brother in Islam, in conclusion, said, our brother Malcolm, who's known as Haz Malik and Shabazz, he said, if you teach one man, you've only taught an individual. But if you teach a woman, you've taught a whole nation. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make you, the Muslim women, vanguards of Islam. Follow the Quran and the authenticated Sunnah of our beloved Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make you, O Muslim women, following the authentic Sunnah of our Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and following that Sunnah on the understanding and the methodology of our rightly guided predecessors. Not going to the right and not going to the left. For surely, for most definitely, for verily, indeed, the majority of the people in the hellfire were women. Sadaqa Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when he said, Allah's Messenger speaks the truth where he said, surely Allah showed me the hellfire and the majority of the people in the hellfire were women. And then they said, O Messenger of Allah, why? He said, بِكُفْرِهِنَّ. And the companions of the Messenger of Allah thought that the word kufr here meant because of their disbelief. But the Messenger of Allah said, no, it is because of their ingratitude to their husband, that when he does a whole lifetime of good for them, 5 years of good, 10 years of good, 15 years of good, 20 years of good, 30 years of good, and just because he wants to take another wife, or just because he does something that rubs her the wrong way, she says, I haven't seen you do anything for me of good ever. These women will be the majority of the hellfire. And we ask Allah Azza wa Jal to make you, the women of Islam, patient, and the trials that Allah puts upon you in this life, so that you can stand in front of Allah Azza wa Jal and feel proud and feel honored that you won't be one of those women that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to use as fuel in this hellfire. A hellfire تستعيذ بالله من الآخرة. That this hellfire seeks refuge with Allah from the fire of this life, seeks refuge with Allah from the fire of the next life. This is the fire which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to put the women. Don't be ungrateful, sisters, to your husband. Pray your 5 prayers. Fast your month of Ramadan. Keep your private parts clean and pure. Guard your modesty. Obey your husband. And you will be able to go into any of the doors of Jannah that you choose. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make you, O women of Islam, like Aisha radiallahu anha. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make you women of Islam like Hafsa. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make you women of Islam like Zuwayriya. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make you women of Islam like Maymuna. I ask you, O Allah, to make these women and all the women who hear my voice to hear, obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and make them like Khamsa al-Nabaiya, the one who told her 4 sons to put on their burial clothes and don't come back unless they are shuhada, martyrs of Islam. أقول قولي هذا، أستغفر لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين أجمعين في كل مكان. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك، أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت وحدك لا شريك لك، أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. And all the women who want to be like those women, they can put their money in this handkerchief, this large handkerchief that is waiting for them, no matter what type of sadaqah it is, and it will be collected for your soul. It will be collected for your soul for the next life. Allah yubarak fi kunna, Allah yubarak fi kunna, Allah yubarak fi kunna. May Allah bless you, may Allah bless you, may Allah bless you.